This is Marketplace. I'm Amy Scott. The UK lifted most of its pandemic restrictions last month, and that's given a boost to a brand new museum. But the objects and technology celebrated in this museum are now widely regarded as an environmental menace, as we talked about earlier in the show. Welcome to the Great British Car Journey, a look back at the fossil-fueled car industry, which offers visitors a chance to relive the past. From Ambergate in the county of Derbyshire, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
It doesn't sound much fun on a warm, sunny day in August, a museum, but tourist Neil Vaux can't wait to visit this one.
Because I've been to lots of car museums. They've all got the windows wound up. You can't get in them. You almost can't touch them. So the big difference here is there's a fantastic selection of cars that you can actually get in and drive.
The Great British Car Journey, as it's called, is the brainchild of former car industry boss Richard Usher.
So here we go, lusting along in second gear, up into third.
He took me for a spin in a 1939 Austin 7.
Yeah, but we're whistling along now, heading for the lusty heights of 30 miles an hour.
Launched in 1923, this car was Britain's equivalent of the Model T, the first British-made mass-production vehicle, the car which put British working people behind the wheel, albeit at a fairly sedate speed.
Oh, we're just doing 35 now, almost top speed.
Usher has more than 100 vehicles on display here in a former cable factory, around 30 of them for driving. The exhibition, he says, celebrates what was once a really major British industry.
Early in the 1950s, Britain was the biggest exporter of cars in the world, bar none. We exported more cars than the USA because our car industry got back after the war quite quickly.
Over the following 30 years, though, it was a story of slow but terminal decline due to militant labour unions and feeble management. Usher's collection charts the highs and lows, the worst and the best of British cars.
This is a piece of engineering genius.
The Mini, launched in 1959, synonymous with the swinging 60s.
The Mini is such an engaging, cheeky little thing.
How does it feel to drive, though, the Mini today? It must feel pretty clunky.
Oh, it's lovely. No, it's amazing, actually. It doesn't feel clunky at all because it's like driving a little roller skate.
And then there's the worst from the 1970s.
This is the Austin Allegro. And frankly, it just looked a bit dumpy and weird. And it was a sales disaster.
Climb inside and you can see why.
Once you're in here, you're faced with plastic of a dubious quality. The door handles are very plasticky, feel like they might fall off. And this really horrible brown colour that sort of pervades it all.
In spite of such defects, even cars like this are remembered fondly. And people have been lining up to drive these old cars around the six-mile circuit under the supervision of an instructor.
Wow. Basically, you're just essentially stepping back in time.
It is.
You've no luxury of a five-speed gearbox.
And now elderly Ken Wheeler chose to drive this Austin 1300 GT, the same car that his father drove when Ken was a kid.
To relive my experiences as a child has been absolutely amazing.
And Michael and Jill Hannington chose the Capri, with Michael at the wheel and Jill looking on.
Yep, I was in the back seat, yep, watching him drive around, taking his trip down memory lane.
And how was it for you?
Yeah, it was very good, very good.
The Capri, a rather sporty, fastback coupe, has a special resonance for the couple. This was Michael's car when they were courting.
And that's why you went out with him, was it? Because of his Capri?
No, not at all. But he sold it when we got married, so...
The good times were over.
Absolutely, yeah.
The Brits' long love affair with their cars seems set to continue as the era of the electric vehicle dawns. Richard Usher reckons he's on to a winner. After all, nostalgia is one thing that always improves with age. In Ambergate, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.